I mean, it's pretty easy if you have the app, Adam, because you can reference the rules.
Listen up, Umi. This is a podcast with the most Tucker. This is Forge the Narrative.
Hello and welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host, BLLL Souls Podcast. I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
Hey, hey.
Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
And Red Powell.
Hello.
Oh, there is so much to talk about this week. We got some teasers into Imperial Knights. We got some teasers into Chaos Space Marines. We got some teasers into Chaos Knights. We got some of us playing Necromunda. People getting ready for like all kind of stuff.
Yeah, dude. We got like more runoff from the balanced data slate. People starting to churn on some new concepts. We had Death Guard win a tournament. Like, what? Huh?
Yeah, I think we're going to be talking to that gentleman on the Art of War podcast that I also do a little double duty hosting on. So if you want to
look at this shill, everybody.
Hey, I had to take that layup.
Is it shilling if you shill for yourself?
I had to take that layup.
On your own show.
I like Death Guard.
Well, it was more of a, I was hoping you guys would all yell, "That's the pot calling the kettle black," because I'm like the king of like multi-show goodness, and Paul's other side of that coin.
What Death Guard are pretty cool. The fact that Armor Contempt is it's actually polarizing. You know, it's skewing some things that it's making you reconsider, you know, math and what is viable. And I think we're going to see more things like this happen once people start to kind of like that hobby lag catches up to this a little bit. But we'll talk about that because I think that's important.
Absolutely.
So talking about Guard, Astra Militarum.
Yeah.
I have Adam's book review, which is returning for its second installment because I just finished Saturnine in the Siege of Terror series, and I'm a little bit of the way through Mortis already as well. So maybe we can have a little spoiler-free chat about that.
Saturnine was so good. Yeah, we'll talk about that maybe after the break. Saturnine, very good. Mortis, good too, but it reads kind of like news from the front type thing, you know, where you're definitely getting updates from all the different venues. And there are some very cool scenes in there. I'm not going to spoil for you. If you're only a little ways into it, you're not there yet, but there are some pretty spectacular scenes.
Fantastic.
It's a good one as well. But all the Siege of Terror books have been pretty good.
Only one I could say was a little bit I don't know if I could say disappointing, but I felt like Solar War went too quickly. Like it was finished before it started, and I was like, I wish there was a bit more to that.
They got a lot of things to do, man. Gotta keep
exactly right.
Keep
a lot of story to tell.
Now, where do you want to start? I mean, I guess let's jump into the Chaos Space Marines a bit because
Red, are you excited?
Man, I mean, we were just talking about it. Like, it's like the Emperor's out there listening, right? Like, I'm just saying. I mean, like, I've been patient. I've you know, adhered and adapted and overcame and just kept playing and rolled through. And here it is. It's time, baby. Two wounds. It only took,
10,000 years.
Yeah, it took a while. It took a long while.
10,042 years.
I mean, I tell you, it's going to be good.
But it's two wounds and three attacks base.
And Armor of Contempt at the same time. I mean, like, there's
three
a lot
attacks
going
base
on.
Does seem a little egregious.
Well, no, because they're losing the, like, whatever it was, Hellish Assault thing, right? Just like how Death Guard and Thousand Suns lost it. I mean, that's the assumption, is that they're losing the extra attack on the charge.
Heretical assault or whatever.
Yeah, heretical assault. So, like, okay, that's fine. Because just build it in means I get it even if I don't charge. So I'm good with that. It's just a matter of I'm interested to see what the points go up by. Because, these still aren't necessarily Primaris Marines.
They look like it on paper.
I mean, that they do, right? It does. But so I'm interested to see how that plays out, especially how it plays into my Khorne Berserkers.
From a fluff point of view, it's actually quite interesting. Like, what is better about an Intercessor now than it's and their contemporaries? Like, they're supposed to be the next level of Super Soldier. And you're like, well, it's got the same wounds, one more attack on the charge.
They can reach the box of cereal at the top of the refrigerator.
I was about to say the higher shelving, you know, that's where they keep all the super, you know, the super melter guns, the super plasma guns, obviously, because the TAC Marines can't quite reach.
Well, I think it actually speaks well to the whole, I mean, you want to get all, you know, warred up on it, but like Chaos Space Marines who chilled out in the warp for a while, you kind of figure they'd be up there a little bit. So there's a little bit to that. It's just,
well,
this is
Chaos Space Marines. Like, there was a shift in one of these editions to make them to where they're not 10,000-year-old warriors. They are the new, you know, the rabble. They're taken from, true, you know, not necessarily a, you know, like the gene stock of old or whatever. There are recent additions to that. And I don't know if that's sticking. I don't know if that lore is part of it.
I mean, there's, right, there's renegades and all sorts of stuff into it. There are some that are 10,000, but not all.
Renegade was the word I was looking for, I think. And rabble. But you're not going to be rabble anymore with LD8.
Yeah, man, that's good too, because that means you're assuming sergeants have, like, you know, LD9. So, womp womp.
If you get sergeants, aspiring
champions. I do like this new, is it Little John, role that Red's playing at the moment? Just like, you know, yeah.
Fantastic. I'm hyped, man. I'm hyped. Don't.
It's wonderful. I'm gonna break your stride.
Yeah, don't.
I'm gonna break your
stride.
It's okay. I like it.
I like this this dichotomy, this role reversal that it's that's happening right now.
Oh, that's fine. No, you know what? Let's take a moment from our message to give a word to our sponsors. Adam, I have to stand up for. I apologize to some of the listeners out there because I failed to appropriately defend Louisiana. So we're just taking a total tangent here because this is what Adam deserves.
My reckoning.
I've been saving this one for a while. We had some really good conversations the previous time, so I'm sorry I just didn't get to this yet. People and inhabitants of Louisiana, you deserve better than Adam's review of Louisiana.
That's a callback. So, that's a few episodes ago.
That's right. We're going way back, and Adam deserves this. He, you know, he makes his visit, and he just makes an off-the-cuff, you know, like, Louisiana. You know, Adam, that's fine.
Something about the swamp.
That's
just,
right.
You know,
yeah,
just keeping it fresh for any new listeners.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Adam. This has been coming, man. For sure.
I got to pay my penance. Hat in hand, I stand before the gray state of Louisiana and say, you may live in a hellscape that is comparable to my country. In the opposite, you are swamp where we are desert, but you had the best food and the best hospitality of anywhere I stayed in Northern America. So I props to you and all your peoples.
There you go.
It's good to hear it. So with the Chaos Space Marines, I mean, look, we got just a teaser of what is happening. You know, but with the, like, heavy chain axe and, you know.
So, you know, last time I was talking about the Eldar and their, like, obviously inferior, you know, several thousand-year-old indirect weapon systems compared to the Guard. Now we've got this heavy chain axe, which is +4 strength, -4 AP, 2 damage, somehow a better profile than a Necron War Scythe, which is literally millions of years old.
Yeah, but it doesn't go burr.
It doesn't have a chainsaw on it. Come on, right?
That's right. Clearly inferior.
I just wanted to you know, just making some parallels here. The old ones need to catch up because clearly whatever they're putting in those chain axes, that thing's bringing it.
This thing is neg one to hit, and I actually attribute to that not to its unwieldy nature, not because it's a large chainsaw. Probably just the sheer joy of the person swinging it is distracted.
What's the meme where Mo has got two knives and you stand there and is like off the Simpsons and he stands there and just says, yeah, this is pretty great. It just feels like a joyous occasion. Oh, this is it's comparable to it. I think it's an Eviscerator for Marines, has a similar profile.
Yeah, it's very similar.
But you take that on an assault Marine that isn't a troop's choice. I think it has 2 attacks base. It will have the same amount of attacks, but it's not a troop's choice. It's not sitting on an objective with objective secured. It's, you have to buy in a jump pack as well. And yeah, not the same thing at all when you put it on the chassis.
Mm, I'm digging. This is, I mean, obviously, you know, no idea of when this is happening, but I'm willing to bet there are some very happy Chaos players just with idea that maybe finally getting heard.
Finally, that year of chaos is starting. 4 months in. We're there, right there.
Oh, dear.
But I mean, you know, who knows what he does. But if you just put another wound, would that, is that really all Chaos is needing, though? If you just threw another wound on there?
In the current state of the game, probably not. They need like a mono faction bonus. They need some retweaking on some of their things that are obviously still 8th edition holdovers. Like, Chaos still absolutely slaps. Like, they have one of, they still have some of the killiest powers out there. And with the dual activations that were stacked up in the old Tyranid and Eldari book going by the wayside, Chaos is now the last holdout for double shooting, double fighting, double moving. So they actually have a lot of things that, that no one else has at the moment.
Don't get me wrong. Clearly super optimistic on this whole thing. But I'm not sure I can support the statement of Chaos slaps, because, I mean, I don't think I need, you know, to call the Falcon up to verify stats or anything, but I'm pretty sure I haven't seen ye olde Chaos so, topping them charts anytime recently.
Big distinction between killing ability and winning ability.
Okay, so slaps is just like a, hey, thanks for showing up kind of deal. Okay, so guards, yeah, in that
for one or two rounds, they're going to feel very powerful. Until
exactly right. Guard is in exactly the same place. Unlike where their killing ability, their damage output is very significant, but they've got really huge pitfalls that are kind of unavoidable in list construction. Like for guard, how do you build something that can actually get you out of a tight spot? Like, you don't have a smash captain to dig up, or a succubus to leap across the table and take out a problem unit, like going over other models. And the same, you don't have enough smites to really smite out people or do a bunch of things like that. Chaos is the same. Chaos is just the Chaos Space Marine side is wholly lacking in durability. And two wounds might not be enough, but two wounds and Armor of Contempt, when your basic troops choice only costs 12 points, I mean, we'll see what they cost after they get the second wound, but right now, Chaos Space Marine costs 12 points. That's 8 points less than an Intercessor, who only has, at this point, one more wound, with the one plus one attack on the charge for the Hateful Assault, whatever it's called, and then exploding sixes. A lot of the time, that is about the exact same amount of hits that you end up getting with or without rerolls. They're very comparable. And for only 12 points a model, you're paying 8 points less for pretty comparable outputs. The problem is, though, you get absolutely slaughtered by middling fire, like by just like assault cannons and stuff, just smash Chaos Space Marines, whereas they don't intercessors.
Yeah, good point. And I do kind of like their the fact that there was a distinction between what stratagems and stuff get layered on Primaris Marines and aren't available to Firstborn. I think that was a cool distinction throughout the book.
Sure.
And I'm wondered if we'll see that. Now, this is like pure speculation territory or whatever, of you know, I wonder if there's going to be like some distinction between those ancient 10,000-year-old warriors and the new converts.
Well, it would be cool if Veterans of the Long War existed, but you could only take it if you were a legion, like if you were a World Eater, if you were an Emperor's Children, if you were exactly.
Show your ID card. That was a thing before, right?
Yeah.
Is it not?
No, I think they just from cultists, didn't they?
They just took it from cultists, yeah.
No. I'm pretty sure Red Corsairs could not take Veterans of the Long War.
Really?
Well, if that's the case, then they're all over it.
I want to say that, what was it? There was some benefit. You know, again, I mean, clearly, I'm way up on my Chaos rules right now because I've been playing them nonstop to keep them on the table. No, but there was something that the Renegades specifically, if you took the Renegades and they weren't one of the legions, then they did not get access to certain aspects of Chaos. So hit that like, share, and subscribe button and tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh, we're hitting all the hits. Look at that. I love all this. Encouragement for interaction. Hey, let me just throw this out there. Please buy a t-shirt. Look at that. We got all the pitches in before the first.
And break. I defended Louisiana.
Yeah. Also, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify.
Oh my gosh, we don't even need commercials anymore.
Outrageous. I love you guys.
Back to Chaos, though. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that they've got something for the Renegades. That it was a little bit, I mean, when you think about it, Red Corsairs and what they were getting with like extra CP and everything, and the ability to advance and charge, which was pretty awesome. I know that they lost some aspects to because they were Renegades and not one of the legions. So it's pretty cool.
Sick. I love Red Corsairs.
Yeah. Well, that is neat. So, I mean, do y'all want to talk about, you know, what we've seen for the Knights and just kind of?
Yes, please, because as we were talking about the chaos piece, if the Chaos Knights is any indicator of what we might be able to look at and expect for the Chaos Space Marines, I'm pretty stoked because it may be harkening back to Khorne Demonkin.
Oh, yeah.
So what we're talking about is in the Warhammer Community article, there's a something called Favor of the Dark Gods, to where it's there are a set of stats with two rules. There's one, the base rule, but then if you gain favor, complete basically, well, we'll say what it says here in a minute, but you complete the favor, then you get a bonus ability for things with this trait.
I mean, some of that being these favors that come along. I mean, they're pretty stellar. I admit, like with the Khorne one, when it was like, hey, you don't get any psychic abilities, but you do get an extra attack. I was like, oh, great. Here we go again. And then I looked at it and was like, you don't just get an extra attack. You actually get plus one weapon skill. And when it comes down to it, that's nothing to scoff at. Mm-hmm. Plus one weapon skill, I'd take all day. If they would actually give that in certain regards to, other, like if the Khorne Demons had that, plus one strength, plus one weapon skill, instead of like having psyker abilities, I feel that would balance out. But they don't do that, not as much.
That's if the model was a Knight Abominant, it loses the psyker keyword and cannot manifest psychic powers, etc. But his weapon skill is improved by one and attacks characteristic is increased by one. Any other Knight that didn't have that trait is each time the melee attack is made by the bearer and vulnerable saving throws cannot be made against the attack.
Boom.
That's once per battle. This is one thing you do. And each time a melee attack is made against the bearer, invulnerable saves cannot be made against that attack. So you lose your invulnerable save. They lose their invulnerable save once per battle at the start of the fight phase. So you get to choose when you enact it. So there's not really a risk of you losing the ability to do this unless you get destroyed before you get in combat.
Mm. Yeah, I like this ability a lot. It takes some doing. So how do you get to trigger these abilities? You have to get a certain amount of kills, right?
Yeah. So let's see. I'll see what it says here.
I was going to say, I don't know if the community article actually labeled exactly how you go about
getting. You unlock by reaching a certain tally of kills. Naturally, the bigger your knight, the more kills you'll need to offer before the gods take notice.
I love the notice me senpai kind of tropes there are, yeah.
You put that word in their mouth, not them.
I just did just then, and now no one will be able to get it out. Ha ha, ruined. but this is cool. I mean, and we saw that. So what Red said, this harkens back to a mechanic they had in what I think was one of the most exciting codexes we've ever had, which was Khorne Demonkin. In that one, you had a scaling tree, like the amount of times you killed a unit. You had a scaling tree of abilities you could expend those points in order to use. And it was the coolest thing ever. And it was really seemed like a GW had a little paradigm shift. And instead of going with more of that flavor of mechanic, they went with more of the Decurion detachments because they came around the same time. And, you know, we know what ended up happening there. So hopefully this is like, hey, we had this really cool idea, you know, 6 years ago. Let's see where that rabbit hole goes now, because we saw where the other one went. Because this is a really spicy, fun mechanic.
Yeah, so there are 15 favors in all, each with points cost and power rating increase suited to each class of knight. It's one favor per knight, no duplicate favors, because the gods are a jealous lot. But with so many to choose from, there's no need to double up. And one of the neat things, so I will say that the game in past incarnations has kind of struggled to make those like middle of the road, you know, supposed to be the baseline things in factions exciting sometimes. We saw that with the Ultramarines. You know, obviously the Ultramarines are exciting now. They've been exciting for years. But here's
Sorry, keep going.
Here's a Pantheon Undivided ability, one of these favors. So Blessing of the Dark Master, the model gains the Pantheon Undivided keyword. Each time an attack is made against the model, your opponent cannot reroll the hit roll, cannot reroll the wound roll, and cannot reroll the damage roll against that unit. And if you get the favored ability, each time an attack is made against this model, an unmodified hit roll of 1-3 for that attack fails, irrespective of any abilities that the weapon or the model making the attack have.
So I remember reading this and I felt the concern like rising in my stomach, like, oh, concern rising. Because this is exactly one of the things that people didn't like about Custodes. The fact that you took away all the, well, there are quite a few books that are built, their synergies wholly built off reroll mechanics. Marines being one of the biggest example. You take away the captain and the lieutenant auras away from Marines, you just have a bunch of HQs that don't do anything, or that just don't contribute in any other way. And so I thought this was problematic at the time when I first read it, and now I've come back around, because this is only going to be on one night. Yeah. Only one night can take this,
yeah,
right?
It is, yeah. No duplicate favors.
So this isn't anywhere near as big a problem as being able, you know, like at any point in the game, at any, in any phase, this custodial unit that I've made you have to focus on will be, you know, and then the next one will come in, same problem. The next one will come in, same problem, where you can't reroll anything. This will be one night. You'll know it well and truly in advance. You'll be able to allocate your resources appropriately, and hopefully you're well equipped for nights when they hit the ground running.
I think the struggle with large models in the game right now is that armies can kind of get a mad on for them and bring them down.
Yes, because of the way terrain works as well, you can shoot them and they can't shoot you back, dude, if you got applicable obscuring terrain. And so knights are a weird one. Like, and knights have always been a weird one ever since they've been included in the game. They've either gone through the times when they were ridiculously strong, as in, I think it was like the original Knight Lancers when they were released. There was a formation for them where you could take five knights. Exalted Court, I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just so powerful. Like, it would just run you over in 7th edition if you either you didn't go first or you didn't have the right, you know, combination of weapons. And in 8th edition, they were pretty much middling. And then in 9th edition, up until now, they've been extremely middling without, like, one spike build in the Freeblade Lance, which was quite strong. And once again, if it caught you napping and you didn't have the right things, like, it did really well. But that's always been Knights' place. They're either extremely powerful or they're not there at all. And so I'm interested to see where this one will go. I'm hoping this is the nice, finally they found the middle ground. And I think what was missing, though, to get that middle ground was the Armigers, was the medium-class Knight, the smaller Knight, where you can actually fill out your list, have enough models to play the mission should you think you're going to get, you know, you can't just send the big boys in.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea of this durability increase, because you probably would want to put it on something that's big enough to where people are going to want to shoot at it. They're probably not going to want to ignore it. And
yeah,
maybe it makes it a little deeper in the game, which allows you to let those other knights that are probably less fire magnets do start doing stuff for you.
Yeah, so you exactly right, man. I think you really want to put it on something that your opponent's going to want to try and remove, and therefore you want to give them as hard a time as possible. A Valiant is the first thing that jumps to mind for me. I've been wanting to see a Valiant on the table again for a long time. I'm really excited to see, like, what an upgraded Super Flamer and Harpoon look like in 9th edition. I'm assuming they're getting like facelifts or glow ups. I'm not sure. I can't say for sure if they are. But yeah, that's a unit I'm really excited about. I want to see it on the table, because there's nothing cooler, guys, than shooting a guardsman with a harpoon and just being like so frivolous.
Not a harpoon, the harpoon.
The yeah. You got to crank that thing back in.
That's funny. Yeah, well, so that's, you know, we don't know a ton about Chaos Knights at the moment, other than the fact that they are, you know, massive killing machines that are now even more unstoppable as they are. That's the article that this stuff is from.
May it be so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, we'll see. I like the idea of these abilities that seem, the baseline ability is no slouch. Like, you probably take them just for the baseline abilities, but then if you can unlock the favorite ability, it's like a little bonus there. That first one we were talking about, the blood shield, the favorite ability is you can use it one additional time during the battle. So I kind of like the idea of getting in there, you know, tearing through a unit or something big or whatever, and then it's like covered in its gore and entrails, ready to do it again.
So, that is sick.
Oh, I dig it. I dig it. I don't know. We'll talk about their Imperial. Are they cousins? Because were there any houses split with knights?
Yes, technically. So, like, this came up actually, is that they showed in one of the previews for the Chaos Knights, House Raven's planet was taken by Bellicor. That was not all of House Raven. Like, not, you know, not in the lore, House Raven hasn't just suddenly fallen to chaos. It's still a, you know, an ad mech house in and of itself. It's just that the planet was stolen by Bellicor, and those that were on the planet were turned to chaos or they were likely killed. And so the ones that we see for the good guys are what remains of House Raven that travels with the Admech. And so that there is a split house, at least in that case. There's probably a few more out there, but that was the most prominent one I can remember.
Did he actually steal it? Like he just...
Oh yeah, you know, he stole cheekily... like he straight up like your planet is mine. I got it. It's all.
I'll take this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's in my pocket, kind of thing. Yeah,
it's Colossi. Yeah, is it Colossi? Is their planet?
I couldn't tell you the name of it. I thought it was like Corvex or something like that.
Okay.
Or maybe that's what they turned into after the fact. Whatever. But yeah, I can't remember the name of the planet.
Like actual in his pocket, or is that a metaphor?
No, that's a metaphor. I mean, come on. Does Bellicor look like he has time for pockets?
That's a good point. But you know, I did it one of those like chaos magic things, you know?
Yeah. No, it's probably, he's probably got pockets. I mean, Dark Lord, Deep First Ones. Demon Prince. Yeah, I was going to say, he's definitely got pockets.
Yeah, it's like anybody, he gets carded. He's trying to.
Yeah. I mean, where does he keep all his stuff?
Yeah. I mean, look. You make a compelling argument. Where does he keep all this stuff? So the Imperial Knights essentially have a code of chivalry and seemingly get benefits throughout the game if they, you know, do these honorable things. And it seems, you know, again, we don't know a ton about it, but from the article, you know, we've got these abilities that, so, you know, so what? You can swear oaths. Yeah, take Refuse No Challenge as an example. The oath is all about getting stuck in. You pledge to destroy two or more enemy units with melee attacks each battle round. However, if you fall back from a combat, like a Kraven, the trough condition is activated and you lose an honor point.
Yeah, this, I'm just going to say it straight up. This is another set of secondaries that you pick. Like, literally, this is a whole set of secondaries that you pick and you're playing your own game with yourself. To earn enough points to do some spicy stuff. I think this is another cool mechanic. I'm a little worried it's a bit too hard to get the payoff for this one. Like, it's a little bit
like
more
the
specific. Build up
is
yeah,
like a little, because you start with one honor, and then if you ever lose an honor point, then you are dishonored. Well, I shouldn't say not if you ever lose. If you go to zero, you're dishonored. But 1 to 4 is honored. 5 to 6 is virtuous.
And I'm assuming, like, you can assume there'll be a bunch of, like, interplay with, you know, relics, warlord traits or whatever to, you know, have more honor, have less honor, do bonuses and things like that, which is, of course, spitballing here. But this is another really cool build-up effect. But yeah, as soon as I saw this, I was like, well, this is just like another set of secondaries that I have to pick at the start of the games or start of the list. We don't know which one yet, which is... It's kind of cool. I mean, I don't mind people. Some people have lamented that this is a bit more of what people call a rules bloat. But when you're playing an army that can have like only 4 or 5 models, you got so much more time to ponder these things.
What I like, I guess, about this is that you have to declare what you're doing. And so there's not going to be, doesn't seemingly be like any ambiguity with your opponent, you know, what's happening. Kind of thing, yeah. And they can actively engage with you to not get you those points, which is, you know, if they can.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the bit I don't love about it. It's the fact that it's also giving agency to your opponent to deny you things. But I mean, that in and of itself is fun. It's a fun thing to have spawned on the table.
Yeah, they may make like the thing with kill 2 melee units in melee, they may choose to not come up and get in melee for some reason. You know, like it's interactive in some way or another. It's decision points within the game.
Or they, you know, they put a fight's last on you and charge you with a real beefy squad. So in your turn, you really want to fall back from it. But you're like, oh, wow, I'll lose honor points if I do. So,
be dishonored. You
know? Yeah, exactly. So
it's
that kind
of
stuff.
Around Marty is a lot of,
that kind of stuff is a lot of fun. But in pure power of the mechanic point of view, at least a little bit too much in your opponent's hands. Like they have a little bit, they can just be like, ah, you're not going to get these abilities.
Yeah. So it looks like there are 4 oaths. So the 2 remaining oaths, protect those in need and lay low the tyrants. So that'd be, I wonder how this builds into the strategy of the army. You know, it's like if certain houses are better at, who knows?
Yeah, exactly right. But once again, it's a cool build up, like rewards you for making the correct choices, like obviously heavily, the rewards are pretty significant. And yeah, I think it's another pretty nifty mechanic. GW's been doing pretty well with this stuff. Well, for making interesting mechanics, some have been a little bit on the powerful side. But like ever since Crossfire came out, they've kind of been just hitting it out of the park with some of these mono-faction bonuses and making interesting things happen on the table.
Yeah, well, the trepidation from most, again, we're, you know, you just react to the news, right? But you know, some folks are like, I'll never live long enough on the table to get these benefits. And
well,
that may factor into list design.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But in addition to that, we haven't seen what a ninth edition knight looks like. Who knows, like, what, how many wounds, toughness, save? I mean, no one can really say for sure if their stuff's going to live or not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like people's shooting priorities may change.
Yeah, for sure.
When we know the full run of what these knights do. But I don't know. I kind of like the idea of the big boys returning to the table. But you guys y'all are exactly right. It's like it seems to be difficult to dial in and make them, I don't use the B word, balanced.
Yeah, what do you guys think? And give, please, like, if you've got the AOS perspective from how Gargants are doing in Sigma, Tanya, feel free to hit us up. But it seems like it's something that just in our game, in a dice game, it's just really hard to get the big armies right, the big model armies.
I haven't experienced playing against the Sons of Bayomet yet. However, and there's actually not a lot of data that we can look at from 3.1, but we can see from 3.0 that Sons of Bayomet were very strong. Preliminarily, it does seem as though 3.1, they've taken like a little bit of a drop in their win percentage, but they're still quite strong. Yeah, I think that I'm still fairly new to AOS, but... The balance, it's not balanced. I will like preface that by saying Age of Sigmar is not balanced, but there might be something in the missions or something that makes it feel like you have more of a chance if you're playing sort of like a lower tier army.
Is that because the interaction in the hero phase where you both like kind of get to do
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, there's like, and there's reactionary things too, right? So like if something big and scary, like ends its movement within 9 inches of you and you've got the ability, you've got command points and a hero, you can move away d6 inches. That's a pretty cool reactionary mechanic that really, when played correctly, it can really save your squishy units or your more the units that are more pivotal to playing the mission.
I'd be curious to see how these
love it.
Yeah, this factors in because you know they've seen how big models can interact on the table. Be curious as to what bleeds over into that type of concept.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my local area that I'm playing in right now, everybody's fairly new and not super competitive, but I can see that like it's also the way that the missions work, because right now we're in. Like the realm of monsters called Gur. So if you complete objectives using monsters, you get extra points. But if your monsters die, your opponent gets extra points. So like the rules have kind of shifted to make those monsters a little bit more, I don't want to say balanced either, but like there's more incentive to use and also to destroy them.
I dig it. Well, maybe we'll see that play out in secondaries. I mean, that's kind of one of the defining things with factions in Warhammer 40,000 is also their chapter approved section. Like, what can they do on the table? How do they score points? That's a big thing in whether things are, I think, actually competitive. You know, we've been hearing from people recently is like, yo, I get tabled, but I'm winning games because I'm up on points.
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm like, I'm cool with the bloodbath of a game as long as they can score points. We shall see. Let's take a quick break. You know, all we have is our actual show sponsor to plug. We already plugged everything in the first part of the show. It's like liberating. No, thanks for everybody for sticking with us so far. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with the back half of the show. See you in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey, everybody, we are back. Thanks for checking out our sponsor. Thank you for buying a t-shirt. Head on over to the link in the show notes to get one of those. It's a great way to support the show. Everything from that will go to the next time we all get together as a cast. And we'll do some
fantastic
tacos.
Tacos. It
should probably be.
Cool with that. That is, sounds like a plan. So help us get there by getting a t-shirt or a sticker. Sticker is awesome. So in the first part of the show, We talked about a lot of the stuff upcoming. We don't know when it's coming, but it's kind of fun to just think about it. Actually, like, I love that we're getting this information. It helps me. As soon as I'm the kind of person that when I get this information, I immediately start like building lists in my head. Like, not bound in reality, because I don't know, but I'm like, oh man, I bet we're going to see this kind of stuff. And that wouldn't it be cool to put that stuff on the table? Like, oh no, my other armies, how am I going to fight that? I bet I might need to have more las cannons or more melta or something like that. Because kind of the thing with Guard right now is, since you get all of the Warrior upgrades for free, do you go heavy plasma? Do you go Melta? Do you go Las Cannons? Yep. Do you go Mortars?
Well, I mean, why not have it all?
Well, I mean, yes, you can have, what, 12 to 15 troop squads on the table or something like that.
You know, 12 squads is 720 points. You can fit two brigades in, no problem.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Yeah, 100 guardsmen up front with melta guns. What is that? That's 20 melta guns, not easy. 20.
You can have 24.
100 dudes.
Not in the infantry squads.
Oh, you're talking about veterans and command squads.
Oh yeah, I mean you can easily stack it all up.
So you get one per squad now, but it's a lot of melta guns. Is what I'm saying, it's a lot of inexpensive melta guns. You basically, some armies would pay more for just the melta gun, and you get 10 ablative wounds for it.
it's a 10 wound 60 point melta gun.
Yeah,
I love it.
But you know, that's the thing is, like, do you strap meltas or do you, I mean, I guess you can't have melta in a plasma pistol.
I mean, your sergeant can have a plasma pistol, a power fist. You can have a special weapon and a heavy weapon squad. I mean, you can load up.
Yeah.
I'm personally, at the moment, I love the idea of a melta gun. I'm sorry, a plasma gun, a las cannon and a plasma pistol, or it's a plasma pistol, melta gun, and what was the heavy weapon that went with that? I didn't mind the auto cannons at the moment, mostly because Eldar's kicking around, and I don't mind the strength 7 minus 1 into a bunch of 4-up saves. Seems pretty good. But yeah, I don't think you can go wrong. Or you can spam mortars. Like, you have the best indirect in the game. Around about, you just have 12 squads, each one has a mortar, and then you've got 3x3 heavy weapon squads in your heavy choice, and just end up with just like 10d6 mortar shots. Sorry,
I do like the idea of the mortars,
because
you just get to have that conversation with your opponent, like, but your opponent's like, but don't you, aren't you, nope, I'm not, but aren't I, nope, you're not either.
Yeah, I'm a fan. And through Cadian, you see some of the Cadian stuff, like you can give out a bunch of aura orders that give you 4 rerolls to hit. So you can fish, well, if you remain stationary, you can fish for a bunch of the sixes that you want to get to make sure you get those wounds through if you're mono Cadian.
Adam.
Yeah?
Cadian's gone, man.
Oh,
still stands.
Yeah, still. Well, I'm still here, and Red's still here. So, you know, some part of it lives on.
Don't count them out.
Yeah, no.
The only C in that book is Katachan.
I am. Dang. Wow. I'm pretty excited for Scions. Scions was the first, the first 40K army I came back to when Fantasy died. I started playing Scions initially. In fact, I started playing Scions before Fantasy died, just because I thought as soon as the models came out for it, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I'm getting some of these. And I got loads of them and played like a full 2000 point Scion list. And I would love to play that again. That seems like, it just seems like such a fun build. I wish there was a couple of different units choices, like there was actually an elite or a heavy squad for Scions where you could take, I actually don't know because the command squads
it's like all plasma same cannons.
Yep. Yeah. Well, maybe it'd be, I can't see him. Like, what would that be? Would that be a Scions get a heavy weapon squad where it's two Scions and like a plasma cannon? That could be cool.
Can
two
you imagine? They probably tested that in the dropships. They just kept like planting about 3 inches into the earth. Just couldn't get the math right.
Couldn't get it working. That could be pretty cool, but that's just spitballing. There's been a lot of consternation online about how Scions interact with the new bonus, which is the sixes to hit auto wound. But I think some people have started to come to some conclusions. You boys know what that is?
I mean, it's pretty easy if you have the app, Adam, because you can reference the rules.
You are in fine form. Right? fine form.
And so where it talks about, clearly, you know, Hammer of the Emperor, which is already in the app, by the way. If you have Hammer of the Emperor, you know, it's all going to be the same regiment, right? We talked about that last time. And so with this Militarum Tempestus, replaces regiment. So effectively, everything can be scions, or you can't. Like, if you bring anything else that's a regiment, then it's no longer is it all the same regiment. So you can't mix, like, regiment, say, Cadian, which still stand, Paul, with the...
Allegedly.
With the scions. And so that's just what it comes down to. I mean, it's one or the other. You don't get to mix them to get Hammer of the Emperor specifically.
I think I agree with that.
I suppose that is the intent, that it is a mono-faction bonus. Which is an interesting distinction to say that scions and guard are not the same faction. But so for reference, Red, can you still take scions? Like, let's say you've got a Cadian detachment. Can you take scion units in that detachment, seeing as they don't break your regiment restrictions?
So they won't, and that's what you have to reference. You won't get the Scion regiment bonus if they're not all that, but you can bring Scions without breaking.
Yeah, without busting it. So you can still bring your R&D getters. You can still bring your engagement or front guys inside your, but it has to all be contained in one big guard blob, so you can't break it up.
Well, I mean, clearly, you know, the way that the what was it? The way that, you know, they made it so you can't bring different, you can't bring like
sub factions.
Yeah, exactly. So that, but the scions don't mess with that part specifically. So you can still bring them on top.
Yeah, you can still bring. But yeah, interesting stuff for Guard. I'm pretty pumped for Guard. I'm looking forward to playing them on the table sometime soon.
Just to see what's possible. I mean, like, it has, I think they're kind of pushed to, like, to see how much you can get out of that without changing major rules or stat lines.
Yeah.
And so that's, it's going to be fun to try it. I don't know if it's going to take top spots.
Yeah.
I think Armor Contempt is pretty strong.
Yeah. It's not going to take, I get it. It's not going to take top spots, but as Adam says, right, it's going to slap.
It's going to slap. That's
whatever
right.
That means.
That's right.
It's not going to take top spots.
See, I think that Armor of Contempt is just inherently better because of the way that you score points, right? You score points by holding objectives, and that is where Guard has always struggled. I find that Guard can easily deny you points, but to actually score points, that's really hard for Guard. And none of these I don't even want to call them hot fixes, but like all of these extra rules that they're giving, they just don't seem to address that issue for me. I personally don't actually think that Guard struggled that much to kill stuff. Like, I mean, you throw a forest on the table and yeah, that hurts pretty hard. But there's a lot of really good heavy hitting options in the Guard Codex. But we still just can't hold objectives very well. So that's like the main disappointment for me. But what do I care? I'm playing Age of Sigmar and Necromunda. So.
Let's hopefully they got enough firepower to just wipe out anything that can be wiping them out. And
but they just got what, like a 15.6% increase in like their killing power through this. So that's pretty decent because they're already pretty good.
It's not nothing. Yeah. I do get where you're coming from, Tanya, because killing power is the one thing they still do well. And so now they're doing the one thing they already did well better, but nothing else got better around.
Yeah.
It.
Like the problem wasn't your demolisher tank commander killing stuff. It would kill whatever you pointed it at, but would it be there next turn to make up its points? Maybe not.
Yeah. Fair point.
Yeah.
We shall see. I mean, that's the kind of thing. This is an opportunity to revisit the faction, which is cool for players. And I think that's what players sometimes just want to see. And
yeah, I mean,
the balance updates have given us that.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's a real cleansing of the palate or making what was old new again. I mean, especially for Death Guard. Like, Death Guard got essentially, it was like, hey, the stuff we were playing at the start of our codex when it first came out just come completely full circle. And now that's kind of the best stuff again. Just a bunch of infantry, a bunch of Terminators just being like, hey, come get some. We're going to rumble and we're going to win. And now we're OPSEC too.
Yeah, I like that. I cannot wait to try to get that on the table. It's just like, I feel like, did I do enough? Did I make enough Blight Lords when I did that big push? Like, I don't know. I may have to do that again.
Dude, yeah, why not? I mean, you can take 30. How many have you got?
Just 20.
rookie just 20.
You got to go.
You got to pump up those numbers.
Yeah, just 20, and I only went with 6 death shroud. You know, but I also like some of the other things. But I think that, I actually do think that might be enough.
I think 20 is plenty. I think 1 10 and 2 5s would be what I'd start with. And then if you got the death shroud and you want to use them, just chuck some small squads in.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. We're talking about the armor contempt and what that's done. I think that armor contempt is going to throw the math off and put marines of many different flavors back in that like terror of the fourth round category.
Well, we got to this in the last couple of months, with the exception of Custodes, although Custodes still go into this as well. Most of the best shooting in the game lived in the Rend 1 and Rend 2 space. That being things like shuriken cannons, airburst launches and SMS from Tau. A lot of these prolific weapons, like the baseline weapons that you would just see a ton of, were operating off Rend 1, Rend 2. And to the same extent, with the exception of salvo launches, Custodes were the same as well. All their rapid-fire weapons, all their bolters, all their spears and axes are all operating off Rend 1. And so this is a big change for just not losing people to incidental fire. You're still going to get slaughtered by las cannons and melter guns and all that stuff, but you were anyway. But now you don't lose anywhere near as many to the incidental fire, which I think is extremely exciting.
Yeah, I like this. Thousand Suns, I don't think we've seen anybody really crack a new list for that yet. I have not seen that happen.
I've got people talking about taking 30 Scarab Occult Terminators, and I'm like, please don't.
Are you saying that's too ridiculous, or like in a good way or a bad way?
There's a couple of these lists going around. The one that everyone might be familiar with is the Deathwing list for Dark Angels, which has 30 to 40 OBSEC Deathwing Terminators that are just impossible to remove in enough time before they win the game. This would be the same thing, but with arguably better shooting, but worse close combat, but a legitimately crazy psychic phase to make up for any shortfall and then some. So I think this is a legitimate list people might want to look at, because you might forget those Scarab Occult Terminators are OBSEC. They have all this dust, which does work in concert with Armor of Contempt. They come with a great invuln and a great save. Their melee is not as impressive as a regular Terminator, like no Thunder Hammers, no Power Fists, but they've still got a decent sword. And their shooting's at Rend 2 innately, and they get the Soul Burner assault cannons. This is a legitimately crazy unit now that doesn't need anywhere near as many buffs as it used to.
Man, don't make me want this army. I don't have any of them. I would be starting from scratch.
Do it.
I don't have any of them. I take that back. I have one box of unbuilt Rubric Marines, which is not what we've been talking about.
No, well, Rubrics are fine. Rubrics are fine. Yeah. Nothing wrong with them at all. They got the same... Well, so I think Rubrics and Plague Marines, I would not be unsurprised to see a bit of a resurgence. I think Plague Marines are extremely attractive now. You're getting most of the durability.
Attractive, maybe not the best one. Got it. Keep going.
Just that siren song of the Plague Marine. I think they're extremely good for the points. Durability-wise, they are ridiculous for the points.
Well, damage, I think that begs the question, you know, because the reason that, at least in my opinion, the reason that I would not take Plague Marines as my first go-to is because you kind of have to invest things like a Rhino into them to have them do anything. You know, does this remove the Rhino tax?
It's got to become your archetype. It's got to become your build at that point. Whereas you got one unit of Plague Marines in one Rhino does not an army make, and does not an archetype, or it doesn't really change anything about a game. But you take 5 of those, and you got 2 5 mans in each one, or whatever it is for you. That's an archetype. There are some armies out there that will really struggle to kill that, especially when every single one of them moves and advances at you turn one, and then you have just up to, you know, could be 50 Plague Marines just on all the objectives turn one.
No, I like that. That's like old school Death Guard. That's 3rd edition Death Guard build right there.
And if you're going to do it, it's 7 Rhinos and it's 7 5 Mans, and you just got to do it. You got to lean right in.
How about this 7 Mans?
How many Rhinos do you own, Red?
Upwards at least. Okay, so chaos ones, I'll say I know I have at least 8.
Yeah
boy. It's bad to say world is player. I can pick this number.
Does armor contempt make it to where you don't need a Rhino?
Yeah, I mean possibly, but armor contempt also works on the Rhino.
Oh, well, there you go.
Just make, I mean, who wants to shoot the rhino in the first place? And now you're making it less likely that you want to shoot it.
Dread claws, baby.
Ooh, yeah. Oh,
that's not very Death Guard.
Breaking my brain. I like that. I like that a lot. Courageous. I mean, let's go crazy.
So this is the kind of stuff, right, is where like people are talking about the balance sheet and really just GW's development of the codexes and everything that I think it's this is a fair moment. And I'm not saying that this is simping for the rules team, but as a fellow war game designer, it's fair to recognize that they are really trying to bring and throw things out there that are going to adjust and bring armies into the forefront, right? I mean, last time I said that, you know, I was glad to see the custodies brought down and brought into the realm of what's, you know, feasible to play against and everything. And I think that I still stand with that because there have been a lot of things that have risen up and there's just a lot of different options out there. I mean, you know, you mentioned shuriken cannons. There's a lot that can make shurikens go off in the Eldari Codex that I think was kind of overlooked by, you know, Harlequins and their rise. And so when you start considering what falcons and what wave serpents are capable of as transports, just like we're talking about the durability of Dreadclaws and rhinos here, I mean, falcons and wave serpents aren't slouches either. And when people get out with shuriken weapons that then, you know, hitting on sixes do 2 damage and are -3 AP, it can start to get real serious real quick. And so I think it's fair to say that the balance slate did exactly what it was supposed to.
I totally agree. It was like G-Dub sat down and went like, okay, so we can nerf these. Also, we can, you know, remove some or put some caveats on these 2 or 3 armies. And then in by doing so, we make 9 other armies viable, 9 other factions just get by default, get lifts out of these. And so, I mean, even if they didn't like buff, even if Armor of Contempt didn't exist, just the changes to Harlequins and Custodes would have been enough to mix things up and make things exciting. It's just now we've got an extra bonus, I think. This was the cherry on top to reinvigorate people about many different factions. And unfortunately, I think the price in blood was paid by the Custodes, but they were not the victor of the blood. They were not the victor of the blood games this day.
That's funny.
But yeah, but I mean, like, because that was the thing. I would look at Marines and be like, well, why would I ever take a Terminator when I could play Custodes and just take anything in the Custodes army? And it was just right, better in every way. Like, there was just an overshadowed faction. And as, I mean, I don't want to say that this is a cross super faction comparison, but you put Sisters and Craft Worlds can be comparable in a lot of different ways, especially on the baseline of their toughness and a lot of their weapons, a lot of their saves, and even their miracle dice mechanic esque to fate dice. And you'd be like, well, this is just a better thing, isn't it? But now that armor save that is at -1 rend looks so much better than any save the Craft Worlds have got. That's exciting. Also, Paragon Warsuits. Anybody out there? Somebody want to show me a good Paragon warsuit? I'm ready. My soul is prepared for Paragon warsuits to be legit.
They weren't missing much from being pushed. I mean, you still see them played today. It just seems like the Adeptus Sororitas are, I don't know, not living up to expectations.
I think they're going to see a nice resurgence now. I think this data slate did possibly more for them than to buff them than any other faction, because that now they've got like almost double the miracle dice. Like their whole shtick, the whole thing that they do that is special in miracle dice, essentially just got doubled, because you get one at the start of each player's turn, not just the start of the battle round. So when you look at that plus armor of contempt, just everything, every single unit you could think of in that book just got better.
Nice. Well, I know we were going to talk about, we got talk about Tyranids, you know, as people are wanting to know what to put in their army list. And the jury's kind of out, I think, until maybe some of this solidifies, people adjust to this balance update.
I honestly need to play them a couple of times before I'm really willing to speak to it. I've got some concepts, but I don't want to give people bad advice, because right now I've got nothing to back up any of my ideas.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And we do have the sample list we got from Mr. Higdon from a couple episodes ago, and I don't mind sharing that, but this was now a couple of weeks old.
Mm, yeah.
And so I would consider this at best at this point just a little bit of a skeleton, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of work in progress, maybe stuff that needs some testing
for sure.
Yeah, but it was the interesting part. So battalion with Leviathan, tyrant on foot with the relic venom cannon, the one that's plus one to hit, with the warlord trait, Trigon Prime.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah, make it objective secured with the warlord trait, a Neurothrope, six warriors with bone swords and death spitters, two venom cannons, another unit of six warriors, same setup, unit of warriors with bone swords and death spitters. Another unit of warriors.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
Same thing. So, you know, we did anticipate going hard with the warriors. I think that's a good solid bet still. Two units of four Zoanthropes, which I'm still on board with. One Maliceptor. And that's the thing. So we were so high on the Maliceptor, just one in the list. He did mention that he believes that there's a strong case for two, but one is probably enough, especially when you're dealing with, you know, like where it has to be on the board and probably, you know, limited range. Death Leaper, Carnifex with Talons and Venom Cannons, and then a Patrol with a flying Tyrant with their Reaper of Obitrex and then 10 Gargoyles.
It's Obliterax.
Obliterax. The Obliterax. The Obliterax 5000.
It's so good. That list is pretty nice, pretty well-rounded. It's interesting. He took more warriors than he needed to. Like, he's got four units of warriors, but he could have dropped one of them and just had the bare minimum. And that just shows how good that unit is. Like, one of the, you know, great, great Tyranid minds and a faction specialist is like, I just want more of these guys. I just want more of them. Yeah, I think that's a great list.
But I would definitely consider that just a template to work from. To see at this point, because it's a couple of years old, and sometimes the meta can change right under your feet.
And 100%, like, people naysay net listing all the time, but if you want a place to start, like a core of a list to build around, or you just want to see what other people do, what other people think is okay, and then you can make your decisions yourself. It's always a good idea to see what's kicking around. It might not be the right fit for you, but the knowledge can't hurt.
No, I don't. There's zero shame in borrowing some list ideas from other people out there. Number one, save some time.
Yes.
In your own research and maybe your hobby time, you only have so much time to put together models. You might as well, you know, put together an effective combination you know has some success with it. But on the other side of it, you know, still play your own game and do what you want to do. But if you want to borrow inspiration from other people, I see zero wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with it. But nothing is more satisfying as well. And then borrowing somebody's list and then making it your own, like changing 600, 700 points of it or whatever, or just a couple of combinations, then just feeling it lock into place with how you really enjoy playing the game. And it's a very satisfying experience. It's a lot quicker than grinding into a faction for a couple of years in order to get some mastery or to find out exactly what you love about a thing. I have a hobby segment or a novel segment. Which one would you guys like? Choose your own adventure.
Are they the same thing?
No.
That's how it's going to get you.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's go with the hobby segment.
It was an inevitable trap.
We brought the hobby segment back, and we've had so much to talk about. It has worked its way to the back burner. But so let's make the hobby segment a thing again.
Okay. I am in the process of building and painting three storm speeders at the moment because I want to add them to my collection, and I think they're pretty good. I actually quite like what they do at the moment. I have had... there's no other way to say this. I've had no good experiences with GW flight stands, especially for these models above all else. I'd say all the ones that came out with, you know, since the Primaris range, I think I really didn't like the ones that came with the Inceptors, and I like these ones even less. The kind of the ball socket joint has no hold whatsoever. Like I snipped off the ball and I stuck a very powerful magnet on it and tried to get that to stick. But then I found that there was no glue in the land that would keep that second magnet held to the flight stand for any length of time. So I was constantly resticking. And that was on a regular land speeder. That wasn't even on this one. This one automatically like came off within a day of me just mucking around with it while I was painting it. I was going to open up to you guys. Have you guys found any solutions or any hobby tips that I can use to make a good flight base?
I have actually made a custom flight base in the past based off a tutorial that I found online. And yep. I did it with I actually done a couple different ways. Acrylic rods that you can get, clear acrylic rods, you know, like, I don't know, quarter of an inch thick.
Yep.
They saw pretty well, and you can attach them to the bases pretty well. But let me tell you, this is so the two ways is acrylic rods and I want to say brass rods if you have a Dremel to cut it. But the trick with putting a rod on one of the GW bases is to not attach it to the top of the base. It is to put it through the base.
Oh, yep.
And fill the bottom cavity of the base with something that stabilizes the rod.
So, like, a two-part epoxy, you'd need
a two-part epoxy or a resin or something like that.
Yeah.
So you're not dealing with the fiddly bit of sticking something to that plastic base. You go through the base, and then you've got your 2 millimeter, 2.75 millimeter thick or whatever of stuff to affix that, and then you've got a pretty sturdy base.
Because that was going to be my first question. Like, what do you use to stick the pole to the base? How do you affix the model to it? Do you put a magnet on top of that? Or do you
What I did with the brass rod was I just drilled a little hole in the model, the same size. You know, what is it? Like a, I don't know the size of the bit, but I took the bit and mashed it up with the size of the rod, and then that's the hole size that went into the model.
Oh, and you just drilled a hole and then just put the model on top. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
For the acrylic rod, magnets, you know, when you got that quarter inch, they're round magnets that fit right on top of it that will attach to the model.
Have you ever had the same problem that I'm having, that like super glue just isn't hard, like strong enough to hold that magnet there for any period of time, like sometimes over days or weeks or months?
You gotta add a little green stuff. But honestly, you know, depending on the model itself, like I haven't messed with the land speeder that you're talking about. So I don't know that I would recommend taking a power tool to it.
Yep.
But if you can get the whole, if it is sturdy enough, then actually just sliding that, even the quarter inch acrylic rod, into the model probably
true.
Not bad of an idea.
My husband has drilled through he's made custom flight stands before, and he has drilled through his Tau hover tanks, and he just used his Dremel to do it because it's like a variable speed, so you can go really, really slow. You can take your time and make sure that you don't wreck anything
or yourself.
Yeah, make sure that you wear your safety glasses.
Nah, good tips. Appreciate it. And hopefully that's helpful to anybody at home. What, do you do the same for smaller models? Like, I don't want to be modeling for Advantage with like my Inceptors or whatever, but I've just got them stuck to bases now. And I've tried to build, you know, I have some bases I'm planning to put them on that are a bit higher in order to simulate. But like, is that necessary in this day and age with, you know, obscuring either just being kind of an on or off switch?
I mean, it kind of goes back to sometimes I saw problems with fire with models. They're probably more than but you know, I've especially with Drukhari, and Red maybe back me up on this, is like melting the flight stands to the model.
Oh, to the miniature. Okay. Tell me more.
I mean, that's a technique.
You just got to be super careful. Again, nothing without parents' supervision and nothing without safety equipment or whatever. But
if you are a person who has a sense of humor and you enjoy the wacky, wonderful side of this hobby, I do want to point you over to Dice and Demons YouTube channel, where Emma does a tutorial with her Storm Boys, where she takes this like flexible clear plastic card and she makes bouncy flight stands for her Storm Boys.
Holy moly.
And it's amazing. If people want to just be thoroughly entertained by somebody who is just a beacon of positivity in this hobby, head on over to Dice and Demons, because she has some amazing ideas.
So they look like they're on springs, so they just kind of bob around.
Yeah, they bounce and they are like springy all over the place, but it's like clear. So cool. Yeah, it's like a clear plastic card. So when you first look at it, you're like, how is that happening? And then you look at it closer and you can see.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so there are options. My Craft Worlds, the vehicles rods, that's the ones I have, the acrylic rods, and I did Heldrakes on those brass poles. And I don't think I really want to recommend the brass poles, because I felt that they spun around too much.
Yep.
But to your point is, modeling, the obscuring terrain of things being kind of on or off with the infantry or infantry style models, I think does lend itself to a little bit more flexibility in that.
It's just, It's always something I've been wary of. I'm not saying yay or nay, but I could see it being less of an argument with the current terrain rules, but then you wouldn't want to have your models invalidated should they change in a couple of years.
Well, and also, you don't want to add, like, so you do, let's say you get to a tournament, you do really well, you don't want an asterisk, like, oh, that dude.
Spot on.
He glued his thing to the base or whatever. Like, they don't know your struggle of having to re-glue that thing every time you took it out of the phone.
Spot on.
Or they won't want to hear it when you're walking away with the trophy. Not everybody acts that way, but I'm saying that's the kind of stuff we think about, and that's why we're having this conversation.
Exactly right.
Yeah, so let us know out there what people have done, how they've either solved some of these basing issues of connecting the base permanently, you know, the one that it came with, or how they've, you know, cobbled together. I've seen people get, you know, use like terrain pieces of scenery that they did not attach to act as the connection point between, you know, the foot or whatever, so they can get that solid plastic glue.
That's another thing that I thought if I built up the base high enough that to have some other point for it to just rest on, then the ball joint point that the G-Dub one comes with would be fine. That's why I said would be fine. It just needs another point.
Yeah. A lot of people solved it that way.
But I thought, the storm speed are actually really high off the base. Like, they're actually quite high off the base. And I thought about just how much extra effort that was going to be. And I'm like, I threw my hands up a little bit. I'm like, I'd like to have these playable in the next like 2 weeks rather than
I
would
investigate
months.
The like acrylic rod. You get like, I don't know, like a foot of it for $3 and probably work for every single model in your army that you have it on. And but the real trick there is if you don't attach the rod to the base, you have to go through the base.
Go through. Yeah, exactly right. I think that's a great point.
All right. Well, folks, that is our show this week. It's been a pleasure talking with y'all, and I really want to appreciate everybody's listening. Anybody got any plans for the weekend? Anything coming up?
I'm just going to play some games, hopefully get another Necromunda game in, and get a practice game for my Age of Sigmar tournament in June.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Going to be building and painting models.
Blightlords.
Got to get back to the Blightlord grind. Look, if I can't get it done with 20, I don't know if it's getting done.
With 30, yeah, that's true.
All right, we'll see y'all next week, everybody.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
They said, but I already subscribed. You better do it too.